God for grace. Well, Brother Cox, you come. It's all yours, my brother.
Always had about singers, they get to sing occasionally within a year's time the same song, but a preacher preaches the same message. You preached that one before, preacher. There's something unfair about that. I don't know. Take your Bibles, if you would, please. Turn over to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, if you would, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Excuse me. If you need to know where that's found, it's right after 1 Timothy. 1 Took me a whole semester in Bible college to get that one in. Yeah. Right now at youth camp, the young people are getting ready for tomorrow night, which will be Chuck Wagon Night, Lord willing, and weather permitting. Always a great time. If you've never been to youth camp, you ought to go. They sit on the side of a mountain, the side of a hill, and there the food is brought out by chuck wagon and horses. And they have some outside skits and singing and good coffee, hot coffee over an open fire. Man, all the food you can eat out there, it is just great. So pray for our young people. Also, tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, they'll have what's called the Cal Chip Olympics. That is in a rodeo arena, just as the name suggests. And they've got a variety of games that they do inside that arena. Some of them, they get wet, I guarantee you. So it's a lot of fun and need to be in a lot of prayer. I love my class. I guess one of the reasons I was chosen to be on staff was to add a little maturity to our staff. And I love my class members. Brother Elliot said, "Oh, your wife's not here. She must have heard your sermon before." Love my class. Thank you, Brother Elliot. Appreciate that, sir. Well, this goes right along with what I'm having to preach. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm looking at verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray right now that you'll bless and speak to our hearts. I realize that, Lord, Vacation Bible School is over and much of that work is done. Youth camp is going on. And yet, Father, I pray that as we have a somewhat relaxing time, we understand that we are in a war. And in war, there is no relaxing. We continue on. And I pray that, Heavenly Father, you'll remind us of that through this scripture today. Bless and speak to us all. And we pray for your blessings and your power of your Spirit to speak to us as we have the Word open, that it might be something that we need and something, Father, that it will help encourage us as these tough, hard days come about. We are certainly thankful for it. And we thank you, Father, for giving us this book, where we can read it and study it and hide His words in our heart. We're so grateful, for it's all in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. After the great effort of Vacation Bible School and all the wonderful people who have done such a fantastic job, and I marvel at the number of kids that were here and all those of you who got in the spirit of it all and you got camouflaged, your faces were painted and so on, some of my class on Sunday morning that helped out, I think, were shell-shocked after it was all over. You know, battle fatigue, post-traumatic stress syndrome, all of that had to come about. But after the wonderful messages of Brother Crawford, and then on the heels of that, Brother Wiggins, I thought, you know, the Lord just kind of spoke to me about this one. This is needed as well. And so this is why we're looking at this passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you don't realize it now, Christian, you have to understand that we are at war. It's not necessarily about terrorism. That's not what we're talking about. But we are in a spiritual war. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're looking at verse number 12. It reminds us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm here to tell you that today this old world is not Christian friendly. It's not going to applaud you whenever you tell people that how many got saved at youth camp or how many were saved at Vacation Bible School. They're just going to say, oh, that's nice. They're not going to fully understand. They're not going to understand on a Wednesday evening when you're dog tired why you come to church on Wednesday night. They're not going to understand that. This world is not Christian friendly at all. They do not understand the things of God. They do not understand the things of Christ. And they certainly don't understand the standards and the teaching of this wonderful book. And any time we align ourselves up with all of these things, we're going to be at odds with those people and because they do not understand. Because of that, Paul warns a young preacher boy by the name of Timothy in this passage of Scripture. In verse number 1, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace, meaning the opposite of that of the law. Be strong in the freedom that you have. Be strong in that which the Pharisees certainly excel in the law, but be strong in the grace that God's given you, the liberties that God's given you. Don't go overboard on that, but be strong in your liberties and in the grace that God's given you. He says in verse number 2, add to that grace the teachings of these men, the same teachings commit thou, or give diligence and trust in the keeping of, and deposit, we find, to the faithful ones who teach others as well. So strong in grace, and the teachings all go together, and then he teaches us above all, we find in verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It almost seems the opposite of being strong in grace. It almost seems the opposite of being in the good teaching, but not quite as well. No, no. It has everything to do with enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You find here that Paul tells Timothy, you're already in the army of the Lord. And I hope you know that here tonight. I hope each of us know that whether you like it or not, you and I are already in the army of our Lord and Savior. Because when you got saved, you have an arch enemy. A target was on your back. Satan doesn't like you. He hates you. And you are in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ because you stand for what all of Satan opposes. We're in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have to ask ourselves, okay, I accept that, but tell me, what does a good soldier of Jesus Christ endure? Endure hardness. Endure hardness. There are a couple of areas. One is, first of all, training. Training. In today's military, if you want to be a good soldier, a good sailor, a good airman, a good marine, a good Coast Guardsman, you must train and train hard. The harder you train in peacetime, the less you will have to bleed in wartime. Hard training. For an example, to be an Army Ranger, one of the things, among all the other things, is they have you go on a 50-mile hike. Oh, that's, yeah, I can handle that, you say. But try adding rocks in your backpack. Can everyone say backpack, backpack? I'm sorry, Dora's not here today. Okay, we go on. They put rocks in their backpack. And by putting rocks in their backpack, they weigh them down over and over and over again on this 50-mile hike as many times as can be done. To be a Navy SEAL, you must endure what's called Hell Week. And during that 7-day week, you only have 5 hours of sleep all week long. And you can't go to the coffee machine and say, I need some caffeine. There's no Starbucks out there. You have to tough it out. endure hardness as a good sailor. Not only that, but they put you in the surf of San Diego Bay, Coronado Island. And there, while you're there, that you are sitting on cold steel plates. Well, the temperature and the water temperature and the air temperature gets down to the 50s. By that time, you're chattering in your teeth because all you have is swimwear on. To be a good Navy SEAL, you've got to go underwater and you must endure the hardness of the external cold to be able to be a Navy SEAL. If you want to become an airman, you must endure survival training like Scott O'Brady in June of 1995 over a mission in Serbia was shot down by a Serbian missile and had to live 6 days off of the land eating bugs, worms, and plant life. Anybody had supper here yet tonight? Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Marine Force Recon. Force Recon is kind of the elite of the Marine Corps, where they go out behind the lines and they survey what goes on. To be a Force Recon, and one of the things they do at the end is having another force march for these men while going uphill. And when they think they're almost at the top of the hill, they get attacked by so-called enemy soldiers, friendlies, and then tear gas canisters are lobbed in their area. But the thing is, they don't carry gas masks. They've got to endure the tears and the gagging and the spitting out of everything that canister tear gas does to a person without a gas mask, just so they can succeed and be a Marine Recon. If you're going to be a Coast Guardsman, especially that of a rescueman, you must endure underwater heavy training with heavy seas during the times of a hurricane. And during your training, you will train underwater, and unbeknownst to those Coast Guardsmen, there will be guys that will come up on their blind side and try to buckle them over underwater, tear off their mask, tear off their air hose, because if they rescue somebody, they're going to be panicking during a time of a hurricane, and they got to know how to handle that. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I suggest to you that what we have here in our church is our training. Our training. In other words, our training helps us just like the physical training. It's more mental, they say, in the military than it is physical. There are things that you look and say, I could never do that. I remember when I was in Marine Corps boot camp, there was a 7-foot inverted wall. Inverted meaning against me. I had to run and jump and try to climb over that wall. I looked at it and said, there's no way. I'm going to be a Gomer pile. I'm not going to be able to do it. But it's amazing what you can do, especially when you've got a drill instructor who's 6 inches from your face. You can do it! You can do it! You can do it! You can do it! And he's yelling and screaming at you. Sure enough, I got over that wall. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The training that we are getting today in church helps us with that enduring hardness. For those of you who went through Vacation Bible School, it took a lot of patience to endure sometimes those children, didn't it? That's your training, right? Coming to Sunday school, being in church on visitation, that's helping you to build up the training that you need to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we find here in verse number 4, he says, no man that warreth. We're going to stop right there. For some Christians, when they see the battles ahead, they don't want a battle. They don't want a war. Well, preacher, I'm just a peace lover. I'm just a conscientious objector. I don't want to do battle. I don't want to witness for my Lord. What will my co-workers say? What will my schoolmates say? I just want to be at peace with everybody. But the Bible says in verse number 4, no man that warreth. It is assumed that as a soldier, you're going to go to war. And you're going to have to be willing to fight the battles, including the mockery and the ridicule. No man that warreth. So warring is a part of it all. Remember Paul's writings in 2 Timothy 4? Go back there just for a minute. And this is his epitaph. 2 Timothy chapter 4, looking at verse number 5. It says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight." He knows what war is all about. Now, not every fight is a good fight. Paul says, "I have fought the good fight." What distinguishes that? I suggest to you that when you and your wife are constantly fighting at home, that's not a good fight. When you and your kids are constantly fighting at home, I suggest to you that's not a good fight. And when you've got co-workers at work who are unsaved, and the way they talk and the way they tell dirty jokes and all the other things, and they begin acting like unsaved. Like the unsaved, they're going to act like they're unsaved. What else do you expect? I suggest to you that's not the good fight when you get angered and you get upset and you get terribly distraught over all these things, because then in verse 4 of chapter 2, you are beginning to be entangled with the affairs of this life. So we find here there is such a thing as a good fight. And Paul here says, "I have fought the good fight." Note here that a warrior, and we are all warriors, must not be entangled with the affairs of this life. Because this life is only temporary. It's not forever. So why is it then that some Christians seem to fight and hang on and hold on to this life like it's forever? This life isn't forever. We've got a home in heaven, my friends. We're just a passing through. So why is all of our time, energy, effort, and mental, emotional, and psychological energy spent out on the bad fights of trying to hold on to the things we have of this world? It's not worth it. Paul says, "I fought the good fight, the spiritual fight, the things that do matter when we get to heaven. A lot of junk that we fight about here on this earth won't matter at all in heaven." Please understand that. That distinguishes the good fight from the bad fight. So we are told here that we must not be entangled with the affairs of this life. What does that mean? A good soldier knows that entangling himself with the affairs of this life will hold him back and not be able to be fit physically, mentally, emotionally, and psychologically for the battle. During World War II and Korea and Vietnam and so on, there were hundreds and thousands of these young soldiers who got Dear John letters. The young lady who said, "I'll be here when you get back." And 6 months later, she found somebody else and she wrote him a Dear John letter. He got so bothered by all of these things that he couldn't function, he couldn't fight, he couldn't think straight, he couldn't serve his country, his unit, and be a help to his men. Do not get entangled with the affairs of this life. Now, in Texas, being entangled with the affairs of this life kind of means, yeah, I get upset when Romo throws 3 interceptions in 1 game. And yet we get upset at that. And I got to be honest, during last year's World Series in the 6th game, I was jumping up and down yelling and screaming at my TV set, yeah. Because I wanted them to win that one last strike. But we get so entangled with the affairs of this world, don't we? And we are not to do that in any way. We do this because in verse number 4, to not be entangled and not allow ourselves to get so wrapped up with what's going on that we forget, when we get so tangled up with the affairs of this life, we don't have any energy to witness. We say, "I can't come to visitation. I can't come to church. I'm too tired. I'm too tuckered out. I'm too mentally, emotionally drained with it all." That's the bad fight. Don't get entangled with the affairs of this life. Be ready to fight the good fight as a good soldier of our Lord and our Savior. And so we find here that one of the reasons why we do not do this in verse number 4 it says here that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. Our goal, our objective is to please our Lord and our Savior. He has chosen us to be a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an honor that is. I remember the first time I put on that Marine Corps uniform. Oh, that human pride that came in me. I am one of the few, the proud, the Marines. I was about as tough as I was ever tough in my life. And then it all went downhill after that. But there was something about putting on that uniform. There was something about pleasing the atmosphere of the warrior spirit that was there at that particular time. I had to endure boot camp to go through it. In order to get that uniform, I had to endure boot camp. I had to endure the physical training of it all. We had some young men in boot camp who no situation happened. Mommy sent a 3-pound, this was back when 3-pound coffee cans were 3-pound coffee cans, all right? 3-pound coffee can of cookies. Drill instructor called Private Smith. Private Smith, front and center. Yes, sir. Mommy sent you some cookies. I want you to stand here in front of everybody and eat those cookies. So he had to stand at an attention. They force-fed him the cookies. Intermittently gave him canteen sips of hot water. Made him do push-ups, more cookies, more hot water, more push-ups. Well, you kind of get the story. It all went out. I was married at the time we went to boot camp. My wife, unsuspectedly, not knowing what boot camp was all about, sent me love letters from home. Aww. But one little bad mistake. On the back of the letter, she put little hearts all over them and had SWAK sealed with a kiss. Isn't that sweet? Until my drill instructor got a hold of those letters. I had to do 25 push-ups for each letter. And then Private Cox, yes, sir, says it's sealed with a kiss. Sir, yes, sir. You stand here and unseal it with a kiss. Sir? You heard me. Unseal it with a kiss. So I took the letter and had to tear it open with my teeth the best I could before I could read it after the 25 push-ups. I had to endure hardness as a good soldier, in this case a good Marine, but it wasn't for the Lord. It was for a human military organization. But we're much, 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 much greater than that, aren't we, Christians? We serve a Savior. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to be willing to go through anything for the cause of Jesus Christ. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That you may, what at the end of verse number 4? You may end up pleasing Him who has chosen you to be a soldier. Pleasing Him. That's what it's all about. We're here for one reason, and that is to honor and glorify the Lord and to please Him. We read it earlier in chapter 4, verse 5, and it says here, enduring afflictions. Look at it. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. That means that when time comes up, we must endure afflictions. And yet, like Brother Wiggins had talked about, there are some, when it comes to enduring afflictions, they want a white flag of surrender. I can't handle this anymore. I can't go through this anymore. I don't think I can handle the attacks of the devil and what trials and tribulations are going through my life. They want to quit. Thou therefore endure afflictions. What I was always told by my dad and by the drill instructors was simply put up with it. Suck it up. You know, toughen it out. Don't go home sucking your thumb, saying, woe is me, and put yourself in a fetal position. Tough it out. Endure afflictions as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When you serve Jesus Christ, you have to expect there's going to be a war against you. When you name the name of Christ and you hand out a gospel tract and you tell your family you're going to church, expect there's going to be some toughness. There's going to be some harsh reality, some words that are going to be said. And yet, we would like to shrink back from doing it and saying, well, maybe I need to give this a second thought. No. Endure afflictions as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We must endure those in our family who don't understand why we do the things that we do in church. And family is tough because they weigh heavily on us. I mean, we don't want to hurt family. We don't want to discourage them. But then on the other hand, I got to serve my Lord. What is a Christian supposed to do? The Bible has an answer. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When we must endure the mocking and ridicule of those who make fun of our Christian witness and our Christian testimony at work or at school. We must endure hardness when we say Satan attacking our grown children. And this is where it's tough. In my age, I see Satan attacking my grown children. I mean, when they were smaller, I could kind of try to do my best to protect them. But now they're on their own. They're out there on their own. And they're making decisions and they're doing things that I didn't teach them that. They didn't learn that in church under my ministry. So Satan attacks where we are the most vulnerable in our lives. But we're told to endure affliction as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We must endure affliction whenever we see a fellow Christian that we love and admire succumb to the devil's attacks, and they fall by the wayside. One of the things that always gets soldiers in battle is whenever they're fighting, and suddenly their buddy on the right or buddy on the left gets shot or gets wounded. And you're there trying to help them, and yet they're down. And your reaction is to go and try to help them. But then you're not shooting back at the enemy, so you leave yourself open and vulnerable. Whenever our friends get hurt, and our Christian friends become casualties, and they drop out of church, and they're no longer a part of the Lord's work. That is something that we hate. We don't want to see it. But we must endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying we need to be hard-hearted. Oh, no, do not misunderstand. But we cannot let that discourage us. We know there are going to be casualties. We know there's going to be those killed in action in a manner of speaking. We know there's going to be those that will not go and follow through. Every time I've been invited back, and praise God I have been, to churches that I have pastored, I've always been there on anniversary Sundays. And I'd sit up on the platform and I'd say, preacher, where's so-and-so? They're not here, anniversary Sunday. Well, there's a story about that. I'll have to tell you later. And then I look, so-and-so, they always sit right over there in that pew, just right there. Where are they? They would never budge from that pew. I tried to do that, and they got on to me about that. Where are they now? Well, that's another story, too. I'm afraid they fell by the wayside. And on and on and on. How sad it is that many, many Christians have succumbed to the wiles of the devil, the temptations, the world, the flesh, and become a casualty. We are told that we are to endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our families and the lost world are watching us. Do you realize that? They're watching us and saying, okay, you name the name of Christ. I'm just going to see what kind of a soldier you are. And when trials and tribulations hit you, and when they come your way, I'm just going to see what kind of stuff you say your Savior's made out of. And you're just going to have to show me. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We have a good fight ahead of us. We have a good fight. And we find here that we certainly know that the world and the things of the devil and the flesh are out there. And we know that we can take all of this fight with those first two words, being strong in grace. When you're strong in the grace of the Lord, then and then only can you endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's why it's written in that context. It's written in that order. And so we are a chosen soldier of Jesus Christ. And we need to be proud to put on that uniform. We need to be proud that we have this sword, the Word of God, under our arm. We need to be proud of the fact that we have been saved and born again. And that we need to take on
the cause of Christ.
When push comes to shove, it would be like taking the blood-stained banner of Christ and saying, I'm a soldier! I'm a soldier! I'm a soldier! I'm a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And never, ever be ashamed. With every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Endure hardness. And I realized on a Wednesday night that's a tough thing to try to say, because it took a lot for some of you to come here, and God bless you. Many of you, if we only knew the story, if we only knew what you had to endure today at work and with whatever you have to go through in your life, it took all, you wanted to stay home. You wanted to not come tonight. And God bless you for being here tonight. You have shown what it is to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But maybe some of you have thought about throwing in the towel. And maybe some of you need that grace, being strong in that grace. And some of you need to say, Lord, I haven't always been as faithful as I should have been. And Lord, you know, I wanted to back out so many times. And Lord, I've questioned you. I had doubts. And I wondered why. Why? Why did you allow this to happen to me? Why am I going through this? Now I realize I need to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And maybe tonight in our invitation, you need to come and say, Lord, toughen me up. Help me to be stronger. Help me to be strong in that grace to endure the hardness and whatever may come my way. Lord, I haven't been as faithful as I should have been in church. And I know that's my training now. And I need to endure. I need to go through the training. And therefore, when the things of the devil and the things of the flesh and the things of the world come my way, I'll endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, as this invitation is given, I pray that you'll bless speaking to these good soldiers that are here on Wednesday night. They've already proven themselves. They're here. And we don't know how much it took for them to be able to come here tonight. God bless them. We love them and we appreciate them all. But I do pray, Heavenly Father, you will help them in the future. Because as one battle is won, there's another battle the next week and the next Wednesday and the next Wednesday and the next and the next and the next. It's not easy, but we know we can endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Father, bless and speak to us now. And if we need to get shored up in our armor and get stronger in the faith of Christ, let this invitation be that time to do so. We thank you for that. For in Jesus' name we ask and pray.